Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a special early edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host with the most, the King of King himself, the man who had a wet dream last night. I mean, who has a dream. I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone line, I have the one, the only, the man who also has a wet dream about me.
Good Lord. Sean Black in the building. My gosh. Even on this day, you desecrated it with your craziness.
And do you expect anything more?
Of course.
Anything else, you know, from me?
Of course not.
Unbelievable.
And we also have Anitra B in the house, everyone.
Hello, gentlemen.
Good day. Good evening.
All righty then. First and foremost, I'd like to apologize about last week. We couldn't do the show because Sean Black had a date for the first time. So Anitra and I had to see it for ourselves. And Sean had a serious date with his left hand again. So other than that.
Good grief. And it begins.
All right. The number to call, and like, of course, reason why we start the show early today, because my kids are asleep. So let me get the show out of the way before my daughter wakes up and start yelling at me again. So the number to call is 347-989-8402. The number once again.
I guess it's safe to say that you really aren't the King of Kings, because the real king and queen of the house are your kids.
Listen, I send them to your house, okay? Don't start your nonsense.
Hey.
That little girl runs that household.
Oh, of course.
Yes.
And she's got him wrapped around her little pinky. So it's hilarious.
No,
the King
she
of
doesn't.
Kings has fallen.
No, that's not going to happen. Trust me. Other than that, are you guys ready to piss some people off?
Well, of course.
Okay, let's get the show on the road. Of course, last week, millions of people were crying on TV over President Barack Obama's final farewell speech or whatever. Of course, yours truly did not watch the speech because I don't care. And of course, yours truly, Sean Black, the sensitive one, watched and cried like crazy over the speech. So, Sean Black, as always, I throw it to you. What was your final thought of President Obama's final?
Well, I think that the best thing that we could say is that it was definitely emotional for a lot of people. For those that never thought they would see an African-American president, to see him go through 8 years and all of the things that he had to deal with within his own party, between the Democrats, what he had to deal with the Republicans, what he's had to deal with obstructionism from a lot of things he's wanted to implement, and overall a change in the way society looks at progression of social issues, of civil rights issues, economic. We've seen him go through a lot of the changes that usually a president that goes through two terms goes through, but in this sense, it's a little bit different because he had to oversee a lot of things. He tried to make sure that the United States didn't get into any more wars. He had to clean up after Bush. He had to try and get the economy back to where it was because he inherited the recession that was absolutely terrible. We saw a housing market that pretty much almost collapsed. We saw the dot-com businesses go in the toilet. We saw lots of jobs leave the United States. We almost saw an economy collapse and an auto industry that fallen apart. And we also saw the unemployment rate go from, I believe, when he got in the office, I believe it was close to 10%. And it's dropped to its lowest it's been in almost 20 years. So right now, he can stand on his record on a lot of issues. But then at the same time, he's going to have a lot of issues that he has to speak on that he's probably not as proud of the good things that he's done as some of the missteps that he's made. He's probably made.
Oh, okay. So, in other words, you're trying to say that, I think we say this last time, you think President Obama did a good job as president?
I think he did as great a job as he could, considering how many shackles and handcuffs that he had on his wrists while he was trying to govern. Between everything that he tried to do, being probably the most filibustered president in the history of modern times, and having to deal with a lot of the things that he's wanted to have done, and have to worry about the, as I've said before, the obstructionism, I think he's done as great a job as he could based on the resources he's had to use.
I remember months ago when we first started, years ago when we first started the show, Anisha did not give Obama credit. Has that changed your mind over the years, or you still feel the same about President Obama?
Yes and no. I mean, I voted for him. You know, I wanted to see what he could do. Do I think he could have done a little better with certain things? Yes. Do I think he just didn't have balls enough to push forward as rough as he should have? Yeah. But I mean, like I said, he got handed a shit show.
What do you think he could have worked harder on from his side, based on what you think that he did of
healthcare.
His job?
Healthcare. I don't think his healthcare plan caters to the middle class at all. I think it caters to the poor and to the rich. It doesn't cater to the middle class, and that's a huge deal.
And now you have the Republicans trying to get rid of the Obamacare. I remember last 2 weeks ago you criticized Obamacare to the fullest. So whether to take Obamacare or not out, it doesn't affect you at all.
I don't know. Like I said, I know it's not the easiest thing to cater to everybody. It's just, I guess, because being middle class is just, it's irritating when you're doing your due diligence and you're paying your taxes and you get nothing for it. It's frustrating.
Well, we've seen over the last, I'd say the last 10 to 15 years, the middle class has been getting squeezed smaller and smaller and smaller.
Exactly.
What has happened is that the bottom rung of the ladder and the top rung of the ladder seem to be getting a little bit more relief in certain instances, and that tends to put more pressure on the middle class. And the middle class has always been, in a lot of instances, the backbone of the country. And I think a lot of people I've heard that I've talked to about this think that the Obama administration didn't really help the middle class sustain anything. Whereas, even though that may be the case in a lot of instances and certain circles that are in the middle class and are worried about that, the one thing that has always been talked about is how the United States hasn't created any jobs with Obama in office and everything else. But if you remember, if you look at the stock market and you look at the Dow Jones is close to 20,000 points. It has never been this high. And we had, I forgot how many consecutive months of growth with the Dow Jones in the stock market. We've also had a huge uptick in jobs over the last 4 years. As I stated before, 2008, the jobs market was, and unemployment was somewhere along the lines of 9.5%, close to 10%. The last I looked, the unemployment is at about 4.5, 4.6, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Yeah, but does that have anything to do with the Obama administration?
It has a lot to do with it from
this
standpoint. He has implemented programs and a lot of other things that he has he's championed that have gone through, and he probably would have tried to make it a little bit lower if he was able to get a lot of the other programs that he's wanted pushed through. Remember, he tried to talk about at the beginning of his second term how he wanted to put a little more emphasis in infrastructure. And what have we been seeing over the last couple of years? We've been hearing about sinkholes, bridges collapsing, streets falling apart, old pipes bursting, We've been hearing a lot of things, building collapses, those kinds of things, where infrastructure, which would have been helped with a lot of plans that he tried to implement, were thrown out basically because the Republicans and the Democrats never play nice in Congress or at the Senate floor. So a lot of those things didn't help. But in general, a lot of those programs that Obama has implemented and has had his constituency implement have helped a great deal in getting more and more jobs. Increasing the minimum wage is something that he's wanted to do. That seems to be on the table. We don't know for how long.
Yeah, but the minimum wage in New York happened because of Governor Cuomo.
That is true.
For us. Not because of Obama administration.
Yeah, but you got to remember, Obama wanted to actually implement raising minimum wage over the next, I think, 3 or 4 years. I think he said by 20, if it stays on the table, I think by 2020, minimum wage would be somewhere along the lines of $15 or $16, somewhere in that neighborhood. And like you said, Cuomo implemented that in New York State to up minimum wage now. And I think that the premise was to jump ahead of the nation and make New York kind of like an example of where the minimum wage should be based on just the way of life in New York. Everything has gone up. You need to have a pay scale that kind of elevates with the rate of living in the city and the state, especially now.
Okay. So Milton has, for many times that he had caught on the show, always said that President Obama has not done anything for the black people. Do you still believe it? Do you think that statement is still true or false, Anitra? Knowing that you're white, you might not know it, but for what you've seen, in your opinion.
I disagree. A very good friend of ours, black couple, just bought their first home less than a year ago.
Oh, yeah. I have to think about that for a second, yeah.
So I'm saying, I completely disagree. I have plenty of black friends who got master's degrees, PhDs, have good jobs. I have a friend of mine that's a professor at Rutgers University. He's black. I mean, there is prejudice out there. There are a lot of assholes out there. I'm not saying there isn't. But to say there's no opportunity, that's bullshit. Because a lot of my black friends are very successful individuals that are homeowners that have their own, you know, have their shit together. So
Sean, she's talking from a Caucasian opinion. Now, you as an African American, what do you think? Do you still agree with that statement, or do you still argue against? Not just Milton, there's a lot of black people saying that Obama have not done enough for us over the last 8 years.
Well, as I stated before, he can only do as much as he can based on what he's handed and what the Congress and the Senate will allow him to pass. Could he have done more? Of course. But as I stated probably a year or so ago on this show, President Obama is not the president of African Americans. He is not the president of women. He is not the president of African American women. He is the president of the United States. And he has to pass laws that push forward for all the people, and not just blacks, not just whites, not just women, everybody
exactly.
That is a citizen in this country. And he has to future-proof a lot of these things to make sure of the viability of the citizens that live here. Now, we don't know what the incoming administration is going to do. We can only speculate based on a lot of the gaga that's been going on in the news. But outside of that, Obama has tried to do as much as he can to help minorities, to help white people that have money, black people that have money, and a lot of other people in the country. Now, could he have done other things in a different way? Of course he could have. He's gonna be criticized for a lot of things that he did and a lot of missteps that he's made. But I think in general, the country is actually a lot better off now than when he first got in 8 years ago.
So do you think the people that are complaining that Obama did not do enough for black Americans are the ones that are looking for the handouts?
I don't think they're looking for a handout as much as I think they're looking for an excuse to why then certain things aren't happening in their favor. Now, there are
I'm sorry, can you explain that in a little bit more detail?
I'll put it to you like this. When a lot of African Americans that went to the polls 8 years ago that voted for President Obama, like you stated, there were a lot of African Americans, a lot of minorities that would look at the voting and say, you know what, he's going to actually help us out. He's going to help us minorities get into a better place because he understands our plight. This is a lot of the explanation that I used to hear all the time on the news or on different talk shows or whatever is the case. Now we are 8 years later, and although there are a lot of programs that have been put out there, maybe a lot of the minorities that are starting to complain that they don't have a lot of what they wanted implemented, they don't seem to be getting those kinds of programs or seem to be getting as much as they would like. There's always that complacency that they don't want to make sure that if they're going to do something, especially with the government, and they don't get the quote-unquote handouts as you're talking about, then it's looked at as they're pulling away our programs or pulling away things from the minority community. And I think in some instances that's the wrong way to look at it. I think that if you are implementing things that are supposed to help an entire community or help an entire country get out of poverty, get them out of certain areas, it has to be implemented bipartisan-wise. You have to look at it from Republican and Democrat. And as I've said earlier, the president seems to have not gotten as much help as he would have liked from the other side of the party. And this is where the fundamental issue has been when a lot of African Americans look at, well, they're not helping, we're not getting help, they're not getting help. It's not necessarily because the president isn't helping. Is because he's being obstructed almost every turn to do certain things that would help out other communities. And I think that's one of the things that is not being looked at as much as it probably should.
But Anitra would say, you know what, that's their problem. They need to get up on their ass and do something about it, right?
And you're right.
Exactly.
You're
100%.
Right.
I didn't ask for a handout to put myself through school. I busted my ass and worked 2, sometimes 3 jobs and did it. Get off your ass and go to McDonald's. Go to the Gap. Go to the gas station. Get a job.
how many times have we listened to on TV or on one of the social media sites that somebody was asked, well, you know, you need to get a job or you have to do certain things. Or, oh, I would never work at this job. You'd never see me working for $8 an hour. Or you'd never see me do such and such. And you hear
that from
certain minorities, or you'll hear that from people that are just, quote unquote, too proud to work a job that's below a particular pay grade. When you know that you need the money for whatever. They may have two kids. They may have a car note. Or they may have some sort of credit card debt that they need to get out of, but they're not willing to do the work to get out of that debt or pay those things off because the work is beneath them. But then we have other people that have come either coming into the country or that are already there that have a great work ethic and will work at any job for a particular pay to do what they have to do. Meanwhile, we have people that have been either citizens or have lived in the country for X amount of time that don't want to do the same work. And then you have that resentment going through the country that, oh, you're taking my jobs away. You're taking these are jobs that you didn't even want to begin with. So that's where that excuse that you were talking about of how, you know, about the handouts and all of the other things. There's a big divide between who gets the jobs, who wants the jobs, and how much they should get paid for these jobs. And I think that's where a lot of the consternation comes from with all of these people that are bringing these up.
People just want a reason to complain. That's all it is. They just need a reason to complain. Something's not going right, they blame Tom, Dick, and Harry. They don't look in the mirror and say, what am I doing? It can never be people's their own
fault. So you're saying it's low self-esteem, laziness?
No. It's just laziness. It's, oh God, there's no effort anymore. There's no drive. That drive is gone, which is really, really sad.
How many times have we all heard from older relatives, you know, I used to work three jobs and I got up at 7 in the morning and I walked barefoot through snow and bear traps were in the street and I got home in time to make dinner for my 7 children. You don't hear those kinds of stories. Obviously, it's an exaggeration, but there were some crazy stories out there of parents from the 40s and 50s. Well, they literally broke their backs. Some of them were still in school.
People got lazy.
Let's say they were in college, and while they were in college, they got maybe 2 jobs. They've got kids to worry about. They've got a mortgage. And they did 8, 9, 10 different things before it got dark. And you don't hear that. You don't hear of that kind of effort anymore. Although it does exist, you just don't hear about it anymore.
No, a lot of people, from what I see, they want things handed to them, which is ridiculous to me. You deserve nothing from anybody else. You want something, it's your own responsibility to go get it. No one owes you a damn thing.
Okay, I see everybody letting
off. That's how I've always seen
it.
No, but that's how I've always seen it.
True. All right. So, coming from a white woman that you are, Anitra, and you know, since we talk about race, God knows, like almost on every show for the last 2 years. And I think I have a good strong feeling we will continue to talk about race for the next 4
probably.
Years.
You think?
Yeah.
But we will get to him in a moment. But to the main topic, from your opinion, once again, do you think since Obama took office, do you think it has gotten worse, the same, or better for Black Americans today?
From my perspective?
Yes. Don't worry. Milton X is not here to attack you yet.
Notice to say yet.
From conversations
you could say, I don't know. That's a fair answer.
Well, realistically, I wouldn't know. I haven't gone through certain instances that maybe you and Sean have. Like, life for me and for you would be completely different. And I'm not even talking about race. I'm just saying gender-wise, just being man and woman. You know what I mean? It's a different
struggle altogether.
Completely different struggle, yeah. So I wouldn't know. I mean, like, I've had discussions with girlfriends of mine, and they tell me, you know, that things have changed the past year or two drastically. I wouldn't particularly say have anything to do. I mean, the country in a whole got a lot more respect because of who our president was for the past 8 years, which was kind of nice in a whole, but I wouldn't know. I've never walked a day in your shoes.
Okay. That's a fair answer, and I respect that. Now, on to the half man, half woman, Sean Black. What do you think of that question?
I'll address your half woman part in a minute. Anyway, here's what I think. I think that as far as what a lot of people are really wondering, over the last 8 years, I think race relations has definitely gone. You know what? This is the funny thing. I think it actually got worse within the last year. I wouldn't say that the racism was as overt as we seem to have been on display over the last year and maybe 18 months since the entire election. I think that on the government side, as far as with Congress and maybe those kinds of levels, I'm pretty sure we're seeing a lot of racism on that front because of a lot of the things that President Obama has tried to do. as far as race relations go, outside as far as social media or in public or looking for a job or whatever, it's been out there. It's front and center. I think that the first term for Obama, you didn't see it as much. The second term, it was like all bets are off, and you started to see a little more of that slyly start to come to the surface.
I think before you could carry on, I think you're right. I think it got worse when Obama got re-elected, excuse me. And when you think that started the fire among people, like, wait a minute, I can't believe this N-word got the seat again, or some people were just angry that President Obama won again.
Mm-hmm.
Against what I think it was Mitt Romney that wanted to shut down Sesame Street.
Yeah.
So that kind of like set the tension. And that's why I addressed the question last time. Do you think President Obama set off this Donald Trump situation?
Hmm.
And notice, I didn't even say the P word yet, because that still cannot come out of my mouth yet.
Yeah. Trust me, there's a lot of people thinking the same thing you are.
it's like, I can't believe I'm going to say that one day.
Yeah.
You know,
well, you're going to be saying it pretty soon, because it's going to happen on Friday. So
yeah, and it's funny. People was concerned about Friday the 13th. Friday the 20th would be even more scarier.
Yes, sir. The real boogeyman without the hockey mask with the orange hair is going to come out and.
But the reason I brought that question up, because on social media, there have been videos which I posted on that have criticized President Obama that it got worse for black people.
Mm.
And I'm trying to see the difference. Like, racism will always have been and future will be there. It's a given.
Mm.
Like I explained to Baby Mama Drama, I think this is a different level for us, because we span racism, but it feels like we're going backwards, back to the 60s and 50s, which is probably a lot more worse.
Mm-hmm.
At least we could drink from the same fountain now, give or take.
Yeah.
But even though it's got a lot of bacteria on it now.
I was just about to say, would you want to drink from the same fountain with all of the crap that's in the water now?
Hell no. Uh-oh. Sean, take over. Yeah, Sean, take over.
Of course. I think
I was waiting for that.
Yeah, I think the point that he's getting at right now, and I saw the video.
And Kato's on the line right now. Kato, you could take over too.
Yeah. I think in general, I think what we're looking at now is the overall heightened racial climate has now been on display, especially since with Donald Trump and all of the things that have come out from there. I think a lot of people are looking at it from this point. Maybe all of you guys can jump in on this once you get a minute, think about this. I think that it's become commonplace, and I think it's also been almost accepted by certain people because of Donald Trump and what he has stated, that it is okay for the people that already had racist tones and epithets in their mind and in their hearts to open their mouths and actually say them without any consequence to what they're saying and to why they're saying it, and with a lot of vitriol coming out of their mouths. I think that that's part of the reason why the climate has gotten to where it is. And I think it trickles down from the politicians that have been running, and the policy that they want to implement seem to almost be a slap in the face of the people that will need a lot of these programs the most, which are the minorities in the country that seem to need it. And I'll throw it at you, Kerwin, because I know you're there. K-Dog, what do you think as far as that goes?
Well, hey, first up, I just want to say what's up to everybody. About hey, what's up, Anitra? What's up, Sean?
Yeah, what's going on?
I know Hot Rod's busy. I know Hot Rod's on his daddy duties.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want to say, throughout the 8 years that President Barack Obama has been running the country since his administration began, you know, he was elected on hope that, you know, things were going to change, that the black community was going to benefit from it. But you know what people tend not to realize is that He's not the president of the black community. And one time he said it and received a lot of flack because of that.
Yeah.
When he says, I'm not the president of the black community, he didn't say it as an insult. He just said it in general because, let's look at it. He's the president of the United States of America, which represents the 44th state, which represents the 50 states of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
I think it was almost assumed African Americans looked at him as the black people's president, and that was
right.
Not what he ran on.
No, that's not. And this is the thing. He represents the 50 states of the United States as 44th president. And with all the things that he's done, a lot of it doesn't get reported in the media because they were trying their best to make it look like President Obama was doing nothing, and which, in fact, he was working to improve the lives of many of all Americans. That's what he looked at, everybody. And notice, even during his speech, when he said that if you feel that I failed you as a leader, then what you need to do is lace up your boots, go out there with a notepad, find some signatures, and you run for office and see how hard it is.
Okay, but I'm back for a few minutes. Kato, you're absolutely right. And guess what? As the producer said, Golden Showers did. Golden Showers got up, ran for president, and guess what? He won. He was not happy with President Obama. You know, he was attacking Obama for years. And guess who got the last laugh? Golden Showers himself, the orange man, your next president,
and,
Mr. Trump.
And you know what it is? Like I said, over the past 8 years, Obama, he tried his best to improve the lives of all Americans, including African Americans. And did you also know that for the black community, he had that Jumpstart Our Business Startup Act? And that was, you know, that resulted in, like, a shift in security laws that meant the emancipation of capital for the minority and women-owned businesses. And that helped a lot.
All right, I'm back again. So, I need you to be. Let's go from somebody with class with someone with no class, Donald Trump. Now he's doing all his changes. You know, we keep talking about him nonstop. And like I told Sean the other day, I follow him on Twitter. That man Twitter like almost every 5 minutes about what he's doing.
Yeah.
Like it's crazy.
He's
what
a media
guys,
whore.
Yes. Starting with Anisha, what do you guys think overall with his meeting with Steve Harvey, which he got a lot of backlash from? Steve Harvey, like he's selling his soul to the devil, working on housing and everything, even though that's Ben Carson's job, but Steve Harvey is jumping in. What do you think, Anitra?
I don't know. I mean, do I hope that he will put his own bullshit aside and do good for this country? I do. Do I think it's likely that he's going to be this fabulous president? No. But I'm hoping that my tax dollars that pay his salary will do something. There's no way to know. Like, none of us thought that he was going to win the election. He won the election. So now we just got to hope that he's going to do his job that he was hired to do. That's really it.
Sean?
Yeah, I think one of the things that has to actually happen is that for all intents and purposes, we know, I think Steve Harvey went into it with good intentions as far as trying to, because I don't know if he had ever met Trump on a regular basis or talked to him about certain things, so I don't know from that sense. He's trying to get something started, being a celebrity, being a person of power that Steve Harvey has, that has money in his pocket. He's one of those type of people that can go in and say, you know what, let me use my influence and try to see what I can have done to help out a particular section of the United States that could use better housing and those kinds of things. Does that make him a sellout? I don't think it makes him a sellout. I think it makes him somebody that's trying to get something done. And you have to be able to start some kind of a dialogue, because let's really call it what it is. Trump is going to be president for the next 4 years, starting Friday. So
true,
something has to be done on a grassroots level, and if you can start the conversation now, then why not?
Okay, but instead of meeting with Kanye West and Steve Harvey and other celebrities, shouldn't he be meeting with community leaders, church members, and the Black Lives Matter movement?
I think that Steve Harvey doing it makes him the conduit to those people, because a lot of these people that are in high areas don't allow for that conversation to happen because they are so offended by Trump they don't want to associate with him. That's what I think is part of it.
He's opening the door, which there's nothing wrong with what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he's telling people, listen, at the end of the day, you put this man in this position. Now you have to deal with the decision you made. That's really what it is at the end of the day. This whole thing of people boycotting the inauguration and this, that's ridiculous. Grow up. Are you kidding me? Like,
well,
I have you saw on social media all these stars of boycotting what? You put this man in that chair. What are you boycotting? It's going to go on. The ceremony is going to go on with or without people there.
Well, Anitra, let me answer this. Let me just say one thing. Pardon me for interrupting. But let's not forget that during this past election, it was a very low voting turnout. And let's not forget that 46% of Americans, and I've said this before, did not vote in this election. And, I mean, now everyone's becoming crybabies, saying, oh, my goodness, I can't believe he won. Well, if 46% of Americans actually did go out there to vote, would you think we would be having this conversation now?
Even better.
Exactly.
Out of the 46% of those people that didn't vote compared to the last time, if half of those people came out to vote, it'd be a completely different argument.
Exactly.
But,
so what are you complaining about? What are you boycotting? Shut
you
up.
Can't. Maybe if they would have done something, I mean, hey, it's election day. It is your American right to go out to vote. But did anyone practice that right to vote? Oh, well, I ain't voting, please. I'm not voting. Yeah, go ahead, stay home and not vote. But yet don't complain and cry later, oh, my goodness, the wrong candidate won. Yeah, and that's exactly what happened.
And that's the direct result of what happens when you don't vote, because then the people that have the incentive to vote will overrule you, and eventually what ends up happening is their voice gets heard and yours doesn't.
Exactly.
This is what happens.
And my suggestion to the people who want to sit there and cry and say, oh, my goodness, sit down and shut up, because you know what? You didn't vote, so your voice doesn't matter.
So guys, the black people that support Trump, do you consider them as coons?
I think that's just too strong of a word to use in that instance, because a lot of people that voted for Trump, especially in the African-American community, as I stated, are disenfranchised with what's happened over the last 8 years. They're looking for something different. And even more so, a lot of people were disenfranchised with the fact that, forget about the name Clinton. Hell, I don't think it has as much to do with the name Clinton as it has everything to do with the fact that she is a woman. And I've stated this before on a regular basis. I actually looked at a TV show where one person actually talked to voters in the nation, Democrats, mind you, and asked, why did you vote for Trump? And it was because they didn't vote for Clinton because she was a woman. And this is something that happens on a regular basis, and this is why a lot of the things have happened the way they are now. Now, if I guarantee you, if Bill Clinton was running and not Hillary, I wonder if we would have a different argument going into the election than we do now.
Well, hold up, Kato, before you answer that, I, for once, I'll go back up Sean's statement, because I was dealing with Secret Service last week with my job, you know where.
Mm-hmm.
And they told me from inside sources, I mean, of course, everybody's like a, you know, is an expert on politics now due
mm-hmm.
to the election.
Yeah.
But one of the main reasons why Hillary lost, America is not ready for a woman.
No.
Basically.
And that's from the inside source. Secret Service will not lie. They told me what the stories, me and my coworkers, but like one of the main reasons why she did not win, because she's a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Despite the polls and everything, America, as we stated many times before, America will vote for a black man first before a woman.
Before they vote for a woman. And
which is sad, but
true. Let me second that. And you know, the thing is, when you look at that election, it's like they said the majority of the people who went out to vote out there in the Midwest in states like Ohio, places like South,
Michigan and Wisconsin were the two states that really flipped everything over.
Exactly, because they voted for Hillary. And, you know, they said that it was a huge majority of the working class white males who voted in strong numbers. And it was like more men voted, and they didn't, and whether they were Democrat or Republican, some of them refused to vote for Clinton. They said, no, we're not voting for her.
And I think that's more of an indictment on the Obama administration from this sense, is the fact
yeah.
that the jobs that they were looking for, especially in the Midwest, like Wisconsin, Michigan, Wyoming, a lot of those places that have a lot of farms and a lot of factories, that kind of thing. Those factories that were there, they started closing. And I think they were promised in their mind new factories, new jobs. We're going to infuse the area with new work to bring the economy up in those areas. And as I had stated before, Hillary Clinton, when she went in to her campaign, she hadn't been in Michigan in 7 months. She
exactly.
hadn't been in certain areas because it was like assumed that because it was Democrat before the past two election cycles, that she just assumed,
she
well, I'll lay back and work on New York, I'll work on California,
okay.
I'll work on the state.
But we have another call on the air right now. 721, are you on the air?
Hey, good evening, guys.
Hey, how you doing?
Hello, Matt.
Hey, what's up, Matt?
This is Max.
Hey.
Yeah, what's going on, guys?
Hey, what's
Happy
up,
New Year.
Max?
Happy New Year.
What's going on, bro?
I just want to say my name
Happy
out there
New
in
Year.
Case people don't know you. Happy New Year, everybody. Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year, bro.
Yeah. I don't know what the topic is. I believe it's about Donald Trump, or I could be wrong, or about general politics. I don't know what's going on for today.
Much more so of what do you think of Obama's legacy? What do you think his legacy is of these last 8 years?
Incomplete. Pretty much, you know, you guys heard it before. I mean, he's helped out just about almost every race except for his own race. Understandably, we didn't help out either as far as contribute financially to help him have that position. But it was just the fact that he is black. He's a black man, period. He's a black man, and it's like seeing him react when there's some situation going on with the black people. It's like he has a hands tied up. He doesn't know what to do, but he immediately takes action when there's another race. And it does frustrate me at times when I see that. And I'm like, wow, this is crazy. But at the end of the day, I just believe it's a learning example for future black children and black young adults to make a stand and learn from this and say, you know what, we need to do more than just vote. We need to be more knowledgeable. We need to put our finance in order and invest in our next political people. Whether they are black, white, male, female, they got to learn how to invest. It's not just voting.
So like I think you said earlier, get up yourself and do it.
No, you still go by action. I mean, get up, save your money, put your money to the next candidate. When that candidate is asking for help, you're donating finance, not just your vote. You're donating your money in order for that person to achieve that position. I'm in politics because I go to the union meetings and I do put my money in these marches and I do put my money. I've been to de Blasio's pep rally. I've been to almost every political party pep rally. I put my money in there. So it's not just voting. You've got to put your money in.
You know what it is, Max? You know, this was the thing that happened with President Obama. There was a lot of things that he could have done had he not had his hands tied. Because, you know, the bottom line, and I do second the fact that, yes, he did not get support from his own people because a lot of his own people did not believe, a lot of us, believe it or not, did not believe that he was going to win. And many of us didn't even support him when he was running for office the first time in 2008. And I've heard it from, I heard it directly from people saying, man, I ain't going to elect that dude president, please. I'm like, listen, we as a people don't support our own. And that's the sad part about it. And it goes on and on. But there were some things that he's done that the media never reports on it. And that's the sad part about it.
Well, let's put it like this. There were stages when it was down between him and John McCain. That's when the blacks were saying, we're going to vote. I understand that part came in when it was between him and Hillary Clinton. Blacks weren't talking what you're saying. Because I was there at those rallies and I was there at this convention. But when he beat Hillary, they all
that's
eyes
when,
were open. Like, oh, my God.
That's what I meant to tell you.
Yeah, but they did, Curry. They went and vote. It was the longest line I ever saw. And I know you guys remember that time, too. That line was down for like 10 blocks.
Mm-hmm.
10 blocks. We saw blacks that never even voted in the last a decade. They voted. So that was erased the minute he beat Hillary. That was erased, and they said, you know what? I'm going to vote for him. But it was too late for them to put their money because he where were you guys when I was voting for Hillary? Because they were supporting Hillary. Like you said,
they didn't support him.
There was this, they didn't support him and they didn't believe, they didn't even believe in politics.
Yep.
So nobody was, they wasn't even voting for Hillary either. They just, I would just turn their back and say, you ain't doing nothing for me. I'm just going to live and live. That's it. So you was right what you said, Corinne, but you just left out the part where it was down between those two guys. That was the longest line we ever saw when it came to election. That's when that man won by a landslide. But certain blacks felt, oh, I voted for you. You should do. Yo, you are uneducated when it comes to politics. Those blacks are very uneducated. That's half the battle. Voting is half the battle.
And you have to understand this,
Steve
too.
What do you think about Steve Harvey? What do you think about that?
Well, Steve Harvey, as far as what, Rodney? Steve Harvey, as far as what?
Meeting up with Donald Trump. Trying to
he
work
has,
on housing.
Well, he has to meet up with Donald Trump. You have to understand, Steve Harvey's in a position now. He's in a platform where he's more than just a comedian. The man has media
access. He's a personality.
He has media power. He has radio. He has TV. He has even toys. And he does a lot of.
And
you
he has
guys
books.
Seen, he, books, yes, that's part of the publishing. Remember, he does a lot of charity shows. He does a lot.
He
so
does
he
a lot of mentoring
power.
Also, which falls into the reasoning why he met with Trump in the first place.
He's the crossover. He is the crossover right now. Rodney, he is the crossover for the blacks. So I cannot hate for Steve Harvey to meet up with Trump. You can't hate anybody to meet up with Trump. Give the man the proper respect to do the job. Whether you voted for him or not, give him the chance to do his job.
And you want to know the funny thing about that is, I had this conversation with a friend of mine about a week ago about Steve Harvey in general. And Steve Harvey in the African-American community is where, ironically, Bill Cosby was in the African-American community about 25 years ago. He crossed over and he is in the eyes of the entire nation. He's a comfortable... He's not as abrasive as he used to be. He's not cursing and doing all of that stuff as much as he used
to.
But he's crossed over between game shows, making movies, he produces, he does stand up. He recently hosted Showtime at the Apollo again, which hasn't been on TV in good Lord knows how many years. He writes books. He's a mentor. He does lots of charity events. So he's got to use that platform to try and see if he can try and get a nudge into the president-elect to make sure that they're not forgotten on a level that, you know what, we could use the help, or let's at least highlight the situation, because as much as everybody has dumped all over Trump, we know there are a lot of things that he just doesn't know about in general. Or maybe there's a lot of things that he just doesn't care about because he doesn't look at the minutia of everything
right
out there. So that conduit has to be brought there, like Anitra had said before, is kind of like bringing something to them, like a channel, to make sure that everybody knows that it's there.
Sean, you're right. What you just said is just that the timeline, you're wrong. It wasn't 25. It was 35 years ago.
Well, 35. Well, however long
it's
been.
Well, I'm just saying 25 years ago was Oprah. She was the last.
Mm.
Because they just did an Essence magazine. She was the one that was holding the helm. She was the crossover. Before her was Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
Now it's Steve Harvey. Oprah was the one that actually introduced us to Obama.
Mm-hmm.
She was.
Yeah.
They just did a timeline thing at Essence Magazine, and there was the last two crossovers, and now Steve Harvey has taken over the Oprah and Bill Cosby rim.
Mm-hmm.
Before him, Bill Cosby was, of course, you're right, but Bill Cosby was the 80s.
Yeah.
The 80s was 35 years ago. We're just old now, Sean. We're old.
Because you know what? This
we're
is the
old
thing.
Okay, all right, guys.
Steve Harvey.
I got to stop wrapping it up. So, man,
all right.
What's your final thought? And you say give Donald Trump a chance. Do you see a good change in the next 4 years, or are you going to see things will be a lot more worse?
Well, none of us have any. I mean, I'm not. No, don't you down this. I'm sorry. I'm just waking up right now. I can't predict the future.
Just go figure.
All I know is he has a job. He's been hired, and he has a job to do. But I have to back him up as far as I didn't like what was said to him as far as he's not the legitimate person. We can't do that. We can't. Because other countries are watching us. We gotta show some self-control. Regardless if you're known as the most highly regarded, respected individual, you have to still show self-control. You can't say, oh, I didn't vote for him. He's not my president. It's done. It's done. So Trump had every right to say what he had to say, look, I'm not no punk. I'm not going to stand down and allow somebody to talk down to me like that. I'm the president. Let me do my job. I'm just paraphrasing, but that's how Trump should do it. If somebody's going to talk about him like that, you're going to have to step up.
That definitely makes sense.
That makes sense.
No, it makes sense. It makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a fan. We're not fans of the guy, but I'm sure you all would have done the same too. I mean, somebody talked down on you publicly, you guys have every right to say, look, let me do my job. Hold the F up. Let me do my job. Don't tell me I'm not legitimate. That's a disrespect.
He was voted into office.
Exactly.
You know, like I told other people, he beat 16, 17 people with experience. He's the man. Whether you like it or not, he's the man.
Yeah.
Friday, you gonna wear your T-shirt, Rod?
Oh yes, I'm gonna be wearing my T-shirt on Friday.
Oh man.
Okay. Kato, what's your final thought? I got to start wrapping it up.
Well, my final thought is this, is that, listen, you know, President Obama, for the past 8 years, hey, you've shown true leadership. Hey, you could have worked on a lot of things, but unfortunately he faced a lot of obstruction. And I'll quote, like President Obama said, if you feel that your leader has failed you, then what you need to do is lace up your boots, get yourself a notepad, find some signatures, and run for office yourself. That's all I got to say. If you feel that you could do a better job, go out there and run for office. Go out there and take some political classes. That's all I got to say.
Oh, okay. Anitra B?
I just, hold on. I'm pouring myself a drink. Give me a second.
Never wanted a loss for words.
Boy.
because she must.
No, it's just like I feel like we're sounding like I'm sounding like a broken record. I mean, people are bitching and complaining, but you put him there. Now we have to, you know, put on our big girl panties. And hopefully this man will do the job that he was elected to do.
So Sean, for your final thought, are you ready to say in 4 days you're President Trump? Are you ready to say that?
I don't think I'll be ready to say that for the next 4 years, but it's something that I'm going to have to say. And
before you continue, they say he does a good job.
That's
do you see him
like
a two-term president? Go ahead.
The only way that he becomes a two-term president is if he, not to say he does such a great job, but it's going to depend on who he runs against. And I think the person that has, I think, the strongest way to run, there are only two people that come to mind right now. That's Andrew Cuomo, who is the current governor of New York, who could run feasibly, or Cory Booker, the senator from New Jersey, who is beloved in this area. He has the same kind of mindset that Obama has as far as progression of certain things forward, but even more so, he has a groundswell of support. That's the only way that that happens. And he, Trump is going up against himself. So my final thought is, at least for the next 4 or 5 days, for those that are not looking forward to Friday as Inauguration Day, I guess you should cherish these days, because a lot of people are thinking that this is the golden era of a presidency that has had problems, has had its ups and downs, but for the most part has seen progression. And I think that's what we have to see. Will Trump continue any progression, or will he continue to do certain things to destroy the progression that this country has gotten?
Okay, very cool. Well, Max, K-Dawg, thank you guys so much for calling in. And yes, next Monday night we will be talking about Donald Trump again. Hopefully for the last time for a long time.
Here we go.
All right, guys, thank you so much.
Hey, thanks, man.
Yes, thank you.
Bye, guys.
Okay, so now I have to go run and change my daughter's diapers. But before I go.
Yeah, I told you. It's great.
God help us all. Well, God help us all in the next 4 years. And I believe what Max said, let's give this man a chance. He's going to make some mistakes. Hopefully he does more good than bad. I'm not concerned about him doing the job, but the speech that he's been giving out, I'm more concerned about that. But we talked about racism before. God knows, between immigration, the stupid war, and everything else, who knows how, and like Anitra said all the time, people are stupid. They will fall for this type of crap. I'm more concerned about that overall. As for Donald Trump, just pay me. That's it. Okay, Donald? Just pay me. That's all I want.
And even more so, think about all of the kids that are in school that have to hear this stuff because of social media on a regular basis.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's what I fear the most.
But this is a message for Donald Trump. If you want me to pee on you for a certain $1 million, I'd be happy to do it every night for the whole year to pay my child support. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in tonight to the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am the Hot Rod with
Sean Black and
Anitra B.
But Anitra B, you get pee on all the time, so can you give me and
No, that's your thing. You can't confuse my thing with your thing. That's your thing. Because you and Sean do that in the privacy. You can't put me in that circle.
Bite your tongue, woman.
Good night, everyone. Let me go change her diapers now.
Oh, of course.
Good
change
night,
your
guys.
Change
I'll
your own
you
while
later.
You're at it, too.
Oh, no problem.
Good night.
Good night.